And I'd like to read for your hearing verses 1 through 10. We try to lay great emphasis on teaching and preaching the Word of God in this church. The Bible is not just another book. It's not just another piece of literature. The Bible is the written Word of God. And we're thankful that we have ample copies of it today, that we can have it to read and to be in, even in our homes and study the Word of God there. We thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit who puts the truth of it in our hearts, and we fellowship with Him based on the teachings of God's Word. Luke chapter number 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Please give close attention to verses 5 and 6, which state when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And I want to speak this morning on the subject of the effectual call of Zacchaeus. The effectual call of Zacchaeus. There is an ineffectual call, and then there is an effectual call. If this had been an ineffectual call, Zacchaeus probably would have responded, No, I'm not coming down. I don't want to come down. I'm not interested in you or anything about you. I'm going to stay where I am. But because it was an effectual call, he made haste. He came down quickly. The effectual call of Zacchaeus. Not every person the apostles called responded to conversion. For instance, Paul in Corinth got a little bit perplexed with those people because they did not seem to be paying attention to what he was saying. And he was there for numbers of months. And finally he said, I'm through with you. I'm going to go to the Gentiles. They'll listen to what I have to say. But the Lord interrupted him and said, No, you stay here where you are in Corinth, for I have many people in this city, and they are going to be brought in through the preaching of the Word of God. But at that time, Paul thought it was a lost cause. For instance, Simon Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. They followed the Lord in believers' baptism and became a member of that local church. You say, well, now that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? 3,000. But there were 3,000 times 3,000 more that did not come, that did not listen, and were not interested in the ministry that God has given me, I have found that to be true even today, this day in which we live. You can preach and you can teach. There will be some people who are interested in it. There will be some people to embrace it. There will be some people to joy over it. And then there will be some who just could not seem to care less. There is a difference between an effectual call and a general call. Think with me for a moment about these two different kinds of calls. The general call has been talked about by the theologians as an external or an outward call. It can come in the form of a track. It can come in the form of a broadcast. It can come in the form of a sermon or a Sunday school lesson. It's disseminating. It's getting the gospel out. But not everybody who hears the gospel with the ear responds by coming to Christ. It is a call that is general in its concept. Many, many times it's the call of the preacher. And there are preachers all over this world today. Many are not preaching the gospel, but I believe there are many who are preaching the gospel. And their heart's desire is to see people saved, and week after week after week, no one seems to be interested. That's a general call. And it's a call that falls on the ear. However, there is an effectual call, and that call falls on the heart. It is an internal call. It is an irresistible call. The Holy Spirit is the agent, and men cannot resist the effectual call of God in salvation. I won't repeat that. Men cannot resist the effectual call of God in their salvation. The Bible talks about this, for instance, and I'll just give you the reference. 2 Timothy 1:9, who saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus, when? Before the world began. The Father gave to the Son a number of souls called the elect, and He gave them to the Son before the foundation of the world. And I'm here as your pastor to tell you today that everyone who was given to the Lord Jesus Christ will come to Christ. And he comes to Christ through the effectual call. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1:10, Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Talking about this effectual call. Now, sometimes in the Scripture, you find it's a contrast between a general call and an effectual call. For instance, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14, speaks of this effectual call. The Bible says, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. The effectual call, calling effectual. Not only were they chosen in Christ, but they heard the word of God in their hearts and they responded by coming by faith to Christ. There is also place in the Bible, many places that talk about a general call. A classic to that is Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called generally. Many hear the gospel with their ear through many different sources. But my dear friends, until the Holy Spirit makes that truth known in the heart and men hear the call of God in their soul, they'll never come to Christ. And it's going to take more than Billy Graham to bring them to Christ. It's going to take more than Charles Spurgeon to bring them to Christ. There's not a human being on the face of this earth that can bring a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit of God. And if the Spirit of God is calling, they will respond. They will come. So I'm speaking on the effectual call of Zacchaeus. The call and conversion of Zacchaeus, I believe, is an excellent example of this effectual call. Christ had been ministering in Galilee. He was on his way to Jerusalem. And just before entering the city of Jericho, if you will recall, he healed a man who was born blind. His name was Bartimaeus. And as he passed through to the other side of Jericho, he confronted Zacchaeus, who had climbed up into a tree to see him. Christ stood not out among the crowd. I want to repeat that. Christ was not a cleric. Christ was not a clergy person. Christ did not dress like a clergy person. He didn't stand out and you see him and you say, oh, he must be a preacher. Look how he's dressed. Christ mingled in with the crowd. It was hard to distinguish sometimes which one was Christ as a mob of people came down the road. So he was dressed like the people. He did not have a high pontiff hat on his head. Don't get quiet on me now. He did not carry a cross and have beads wrapped around his neck. And I do not believe he carried a staff wherever he went. And when he came to the tree where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and called for him to come down. And what followed is a beautiful picture of God's grace in the effectual call of a sinner. Now, what kind of call did the Savior give to Zacchaeus? First of all, it was a gracious call. He didn't have to recognize him. Zacchaeus was perched up like a buzzard in a sycamore tree. And Christ did not have to recognize him. He had people on every side of him. He was surrounded by people. And all of a sudden, his eyes shifted from them to one individual up on a tree limb. And he called him by his name. It was a gracious call. The Bible says he was chief among the publicans. Now, a publican was a tax collector. And they didn't like tax collectors back then any more than we like tax collectors today. But more than just being a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. He was over all the other tax collectors. And he taught them the tricks of the trade on how to collect taxes. And he was a despised individual. He was a man that many people wished perhaps would go to hell instead of ever going to heaven. He was a man, my dear friends, who was a thief and a liar, but grace smiled on him. He was an outcast, but the Lord brought him in. He lived in Jericho. Jericho was the city of the curse. Do you remember when Joshua and the children of Israel went into the promised land? They had to deal with this big city called Jericho, and the walls surrounded it. And they followed God's instructions. And on the seventh day, the walls of the city fell flat. And from that point on, God called that city the cursed city. And Joshua said, anybody who builds on this site, let him be accursed of God. He, Zacchaeus, was in an accursed city. Every city is accursed for the sinner who lives therein. We live in an accursed city. Galatians 3:10 says, cursed is the man that does not keep all the books of the law. in order to do them. And you know and I know as well, we cannot have and do not possess the power and the ability to keep the holy law of God. We've broken it time after time after time. And the man who breaks the law of God is accursed of God. He was in the city of the accursed. He was a publican. As I said, he was a Jew who worked for the Roman government. Now, if he'd been a Roman working for the Romans, it'd been bad enough. He was a Jew working for the Roman government. And his job was to collect taxes from other Jews. He was despised by his brothers. The scripture says he was rich, not only from his pay, but from the over collections, you see. He was a thief. He was a chief. He collected an override on all those that were under him. He made quite a lucrative business out of it. On one occasion, our Lord said, it's impossible for a man to enter into the kingdom of God, a rich man, but with God, all things are possible. Not too many rich people are concerned about the Lord and about being saved. It was a gracious call, and he was a sinner. Zacchaeus was a sinner. He had been excommunicated by the Sanhedrin. He was looked upon as a heathen. He was a loner. He had no friends, and no one wanted to be with him at any time under any given situation. And that's the man of all people. Why Zacchaeus? If you'll just stop and ponder that, sometimes, my dear friends, the Lord smiles on the most wicked sinner. The person that nobody else would have anything in the world to do with, but the Lord stops in his tracks and says, bid him come to me. It was a gracious call, a gracious call. Was a personal call. A personal call. When Christ looked up and saw Zacchaeus, he called him by his name. They had never met. That's one reason why Zacchaeus wanted to climb up into a tree. He was a short-statured individual, and he could look out from that vantage point and get a glimpse of Jesus Christ as he walked by. And Christ stops right underneath the very tree that Zacchaeus has climbed and says, as he looks up, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. It's a personal call. I've often wondered what his response in his heart was when Christ called him by name. Think with me just a second here. The scripture says in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. Now, Zacchaeus must have thought, uh-oh, he sees me. Huh? He sees me. Did you know the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the bad? And whoever you are today, he sees you and he knows what you do. He says here, he sees me. And then the Lord said, Zacchaeus. Maybe Zacchaeus responded, uh-oh, he knows me. I'm here to tell you, he knows who you are. He knows you inside and out. There are no hidden cavities that he has not already explored. He knows who you are. And then the Lord made this statement, make haste and come down. He wants me. Out of all the people who live in Jericho, he has called me by my name and he wants me. And then Christ said, I must need abide at thy house. He needs me. He needs me. He's called on me to come down. He needs me. And though it's not revealed word for word in the scripture, it's heavily implied. He means it. And so when Christ said, Zacchaeus, come down, he came down. It was an effectual call. It was a personal call. The press of the multitude, that word P-R-E-S-S. My dear friend Lester Roloff used to take that word, and I know now Lester Roloff was a very intelligent individual. Sometimes people thought he's just dumb. But he was a very intelligent individual, and he many times would make this statement: one reason why more people don't come to Christ is because of the newspaper. Now, he's talking about the press. Okay? Come on, wake up, folk. But the press means that the crowds of people were thronged about this very place where Christ had come to have this encounter with Zacchaeus. The multitudes were there, but Jesus Christ did not come to save everybody in general. He came to save somebody in particular. Salvation is personal. We must never forget the personal aspect of salvation. Sometimes we say, well, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever. God saves individuals. He saves individuals. It's a personal thing. When our Lord resurrected from the grave, Mary, one of the women who had come to honor His life and His death, was standing in the garden, and perhaps in the wee hours of the morning, the sun had not yet risen, and she saw somebody. She thought it was the gardener, but it was the resurrected Christ. She paid Him no attention until He walked up behind her, and He said, "Mary, Mary." And my dear friends, when He said that, she turned and reached out to touch Him. Was forbidden to touch Him, but nonetheless, she recognized Him, and He recognized her. It's a personal thing. Jesus Christ said at Lazarus' tomb, "Lazarus, come forth." Anybody in the world could have stood at Lazarus' tomb and said the same words, and nothing would have happened. If I had been there and I were to say, "Lazarus, come forth," I would still be standing there saying, "Lazarus, come forth." But when He said, "Lazarus, come forth," now you might as well get out of the way. He's coming. Now you're not going to have to sing 15 stanzas of the invitation hymn. And you're not going to have a mourner's bench over here with some Kleenex and mourner's bench over here. Maybe if you'll come and boo-hoo a whole lot, maybe you'll just persuade God to do you a favor. He does not work that way. But I tell you how He works. If He's out to get you, He'll get you. He'll get you. When Christ saved Saul on the road to Damascus, He called him by his name twice. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" There were a lot of Roman soldiers there. He didn't address a one of them. He talked to Paul. "Saul, Saul." On one occasion, Christ said, "Remember Lot's wife." That's a good sermon. Remember Lot's wife. Lot was saved, but his wife was not. God saves people one by one. B.H. Carroll, for many years, was the president of Southwestern Theological Seminary. And Dr. Carroll likened the general call. That's the call of the preacher from the pulpit. He likened the general call to sheet lightning. Sheet lightning. It goes everywhere, but doesn't strike anything. He also said he likened the effectual call to striking lightning. That's when a bolt comes down and doesn't stop till it hits the object. And we have a lot of sheet lightning today. We have a lot of ministerial noise today. We have a real qualified band and orchestra today. And we've dressed it up in such a way that everybody's going to just fall in love with us. And nobody's being saved. But once in a while, that person that you thought would never be saved in a million years, God sends a bolt of lightning in that heart, and dear friend, might as well get out of the way. They're coming. They're coming. I've told you this before. And I got to thinking, Brother Danny, because I remember when I said it, I thought, now there sits Danny Morris. my buddy Danny, and in the sermon I made mention the fact that my mother called me Danny. I never cared for Danny, but I like Danny Morris. We're fine. But I didn't like that. Didn't like her to call me Danny. Whenever we'd have supper, you probably have to look that up in the dictionary and know what supper is anymore. Whenever we'd have supper, she'd come to the back door, open up the screen wire door, and she'd say, "Danny, it's supper time." I wouldn't come. And she'd raise her voice. She said, "Danny, it's time to eat." And I wouldn't come. Then she'd say, "Daniel Watts, I came as quick as I could." She gave me the effectual call. The general call didn't work too well. But brother, when she said Daniel Watts, I knew one thing is life or death. I better get there quick. And I'm glad for that. It's an effectual call. It is an urgent call. The effectual call is an urgent call. Let me tell you, you do not have to pray about coming to Christ. You do not have to pray about coming to Christ. You come. And you come quickly. And you come now. By the way, while I'm there, you don't have to pray about tithing. God's already told you what to give. You better do what He says or you're disobedient. You don't need to say, "Well, I'm going to pray about it." Don't waste God's time praying about something He's already commanded you to do. Now, that one's not going to cost you anything, okay? The Bible says urgent call. "Make haste," the Lord said. "Make haste, Zacchaeus. Get after it. Do it now." The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Why should people come to Christ now? Because we cannot plan on what's going to take place tomorrow. We don't know. Mr. Spurgeon had these words to say about tomorrow and today. I quote, "Tomorrow, it is not written in the almanac of time. Tomorrow, it is in Satan's calendar and nowhere else. Tomorrow, it is a rock whitened by the bones of mariners who have been wrecked upon it. Tomorrow, it is the idiot's cup which he fableth to lie at the foot of the rainbow, but which no man hath ever found. Tomorrow, it is the island of Loch Lomond, which no person hath ever seen. Tomorrow is a dream. Tomorrow is a delusion. Tomorrow, tomorrow, you may lift up your eyes, being in torments. But today, yonder clock saith today, thy pulse whispereth today. I hear my heart speaks as it beats and says, today. Everything crieth, today. And the Holy Ghost is in union with these things because He says, today, if you'll hear His voice and harden not your hearts, sinner," so Spurgeon continues, "sinner, are you inclined now to seek the Savior? Are you breathing a prayer now? Are you saying now or never, I must be saved now? If you are, then I hope it is an effectual call. For Christ, when He giveth an effectual call, says Zacchaeus, make haste." Make haste. It was an humbling call. Christ said, "Come down. Zacchaeus, come down. Not get up. Not climb higher. But come down. Come down. Come down from the leaves of self-righteousness." That was his hiding place. He was hiding up in the sycamore tree behind the leaves of self-righteousness. Come down from that place. come down from the tree of pride. That's where we're perched up here high so we can look down on everybody else and point out their mistakes and their sins and how worthless they are. Come down from that. Come down from the limb of religious profession, which is useless in salvation. Come down, not to a lower limb, but come all the way down. Roth Bonnard, many years ago, was a leading evangelist across the land, the like of which I've never read anybody like Bonnard, because he was so plain it hurt. I mean, it hurt. The man told the truth. He was a very stringent, stout preacher of the Word of God. And his invitations were not this: sinner, would you let Christ save you today? His invitations were not, how many of you would come and make Jesus your Lord today? When Bonnard gave an invitation, it was very brief. He would say, down, sinner. Down, sinner. Man will never be saved looking down on Christ. Man will never be saved looking down on Christ. Zacchaeus was looking down on Christ. If he's going to be saved, he'd got to come down. And that's perhaps one of the most difficult things that you and I face in life, is to learn not how to get up and not how to climb higher, but to learn how to get down, down, down. Brother Job said, I abhor myself. I'm quoting. That's Job. Isaiah said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. He came down. Paul said, I'm chief of sinners. The Apostle Paul. He came down. The sinner has to come down if he's going to be saved. You're going to have to admit you're rotten. Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to admit you are a sinner. He came to save sinners and nobody else, my dear friends. Sinners! And one of the big heartaches of evangelism today is there are no sinners. Have all kinds of people, but we don't have any sinners today. It was an affectionate call. I must abide in thy house. Not just visit with you for a few moments, Zacchaeus. I want to come in and live with you. There's a difference. There's a difference. Not to stand looking in the window, but to come in where you live. I will sit and have fellowship with you. He wants to know where you live, and he wants to know what circumstances you face. He wants to know from you. It was an affectionate call. It was a necessary call. He says in our text, I must. I must. Jesus looked up in the place, saw him, and said unto him, make haste, Zacchaeus, for today I must. That's a strong English word, is it not? It's a strong any kind of word. I must. There were some things that were musts for the Lord. I must abide in thy house. It was a necessary call. Christ said in John chapter number 4 to his disciples, I must needs go through Samaria. Now, he didn't absolutely have to go through Samaria as far as geography is concerned to get up north in Palestine, but he meant something else when he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why? Because he knew that there was a lady that was going to be at Jacob's well at 12 o'clock noon that the Father had given unto him before the foundation of the world. Huh? Yes, sir. I've got to go there because she's waiting for me. She didn't think she was. She didn't even know who he was. But the Lord knew who she was. Christ said in John chapter 10, other sheep I must bring in. He's speaking in the context that there were the Jewish sheep, Jews who would, be converted to faith in Christ among the elect of God. But he said, I'm going to bring somebody else in. Gentiles are going to be brought in by the grace of God. There are other sheep, and he said this, I quote it to you, other sheep I must bring. I've got to bring them. I want to be kind when I say this. I don't want you to think I'm awfully, awfully hard, but I want you to get this. He will not knock on this door. He will not knock on the door of the elect who's received the effectual call. Well, what about Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's a good message, and I would love to preach. I don't have the time to do it this morning. He wasn't talking to sinners when he said that. He was talking to saints in the church at Laodicea. I'm here to tell you, my dear friends, if God called you effectually, if you don't open the door, honey, he'll kick it open. God knows how to get you. Sure he does. He knows exactly what it takes to break your heart and bring you to nothingness. Now, I know this isn't really posture-building sermon today. I understand that. But we're talking about some important stuff here. What if a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What does it profit him? Unnecessary call. And I, for one, believe that the second coming of Christ awaits the elect being brought in. And my dear friends, when that last elect one is brought in, I think the Lord will return. Let me finish by saying it was an effectual call. An effectual call. It accomplished the purpose for which it was designed. You know, when Lazarus died, Mary and Martha, both his sisters, wondered why Christ had not been there and come early and prevented the whole thing from happening. And in John chapter number 11 is a classic example that when the Lord calls effectually, you come. In John chapter number 11, this is after the death of Lazarus. Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him, and Mary sat still in the house. Now, those two sisters were brokenhearted over losing their brother, all right? And there's a funeral that has already been held, and the people are still mourning. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you will ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And to forego the next few verses where Christ said, I'm the resurrection and the life, the point I want to make is found in verses 28, 29. And when she had so said, she went her way, that is, Martha went to the house and called Mary, her sister, secretly. She whispered in Mary's ear, the Master is come, and he calleth for thee. Well, Mary could have said, well, you tell him that this is a bad time for me. I've lost my brother, and I'll be there as quick as I could. As a matter of fact, he should have got here a little earlier. No. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Verse 29, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. The Master was calling for her. Zacchaeus made haste. Zacchaeus came down. Zacchaeus received him joyfully. How do we know? Well, I think what verse 8 and 9 says. Verse 8 said, Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Anytime you can get a Jew to say, I'm going to give half of it back to God. He got something. He got something. A Baptist is a different story. But that wasn't enough. He said, if I've taken anything by false accusation from any man, I restore him fourfold. In other words, he wanted to make right the wrongs he had done to other people. That's a good sign a man's been saved, when he wants to restore and make right some things that were done wrong. And I believe he was saved. One other reference and we close. In John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And the passage closes with this. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. If a man is lost, if a man is unsaved, it either means Christ didn't look for him, or Christ looked for him and couldn't find him. Huh? I'm here to tell you, he came to save, and everyone he came to save, he will save, because he is sovereign. And he gives an effectual call. So, Brother Cozart, how do I know what I'm feeling today or what I'm hearing today? Is it the Lord or is it the preacher? Tell you what, if you realize you're a sinner, if you realize you're a sinner, and that Jesus Christ is your only hope of salvation, and what he did on the cross of Calvary, you by faith are claiming that he died for me and for my sins. Are you willing to do that and look to him and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul? Pretty much so, that's an effectual call. But if you can walk out of these doors today the same person you were when you walked in these doors, most likely you heard a bunch of noise from the pulpit. But God called me to make noise. He called his preachers to preach, and we're going to preach. And we preach with anticipation that hundreds and thousands of people, yea, millions of people, would come to know Christ. But if no one comes to Christ, God won't be defeated, because they will come if he effectually calls them. Let's stand, please, for prayer.